Well, if you would, please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I don't know what you want to accomplish this year or what goals you've set for yourself. Hopefully you have, and I imagine every person here has. It's kind of natural that we do that. I would rather use goals than resolutions. I think resolution has kind of become a joke in our society. I'm not sure how many of us keep our resolutions. But if there is a resolution or anything we should resolve to do in the new year, it ought to be to grow in our faith. To grow in our faith. I believe that faith is the central theme of the Bible. The Bible is filled with stories of faith in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is absolutely necessary that a child of God learns to live by faith. And so, first off, we need to kind of assess where we are in our faith journey. And we need to think about where we need to grow in our faith. Someone said once that faith is the medium of exchange in heaven. Throughout the Bible, God calls people to faith. And think of all the things that come to us through faith. Think about that for a moment. Salvation. Salvation is by grace through what? Through faith. Victory. Victory over the world and victory over the devil. Where is the victory? The victory is through our faith. Through our faith. Fullness of the Spirit. If you're going to walk in the power of the Spirit this year, it's going to be through faith. Sanctification. Now let's flip the coin and think about all the problems that come when we fail to exercise our faith. There's worry, loneliness, guilt, disobedience. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But listen, there's a need for us to have clarity and to understand really what we mean when we talk about faith. A lot of people are kind of confused about this idea of faith. Faith is greatly misunderstood. For one thing, faith is certainly not wishful thinking. If I just wish hard enough, I'll have what I'm wishing for. It's not blind hope. It's reasoned. You have a reasoned faith. It's not eternal optimism. Hey, listen, it's not positive thinking. That's very popular. A lot of people think positive thinking is faith. I heard a story one time about a dad. His young son had come home, and his son said, Dad, I'm just certain that I failed my math test today. And dad was into this positive thinking. He said, well, son, you got to stop thinking so negative. You got to just be positive in your thinking. And he says, okay, Dad, I'm positive. I flunked my test. And so positive thinking isn't faith. What is it? What does it mean to live by faith? Well, I could answer that. I could give some theological, technical answer. But I'd rather show you. I'd rather take the next several weeks and show you what this kind of faith looks like. Because there's lots of men and women who are called and respond in faith in Scripture. But I believe Exhibit A is Abraham, the life of Abraham. And it begins in chapter 12, really the story of Abraham's journey of faith. And that's what I want to read and talk about over these next several weeks. I want us to understand what Abraham's faith journey looked like. Because I believe, even though Abraham's a giant, and he's been respected by many, many people, and we may feel like, well, I'm no Abraham, there's a lot of common elements in his journey of faith that we can apply to our journey of faith. And again, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. So I believe that we need to think about Abraham's faith journey as we think about our own in the new year. So again, Genesis chapter 12 is where we find ourselves today. We're just going verse by verse through the Bible. And please read in your Bible or your mobile device, however you're reading God's Word today. Let's begin in verse 1, and we're going to talk today about the call to a life of faith. The call to a life of faith. This is what the Word of God says. The Lord said to Abram, now keep in mind, his name is Abram right now. Later, God will change his name. Abram, by the way, means exalted father. Later on, he'll be called Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. I think you'll understand that as you understand the story about Abram or Abraham. This is what God says to him. go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, there's a lot right there, a lot of ways we could go with that, and I'll mention a little bit. This is prophetic. It's talking about a specific promise, but I also want to apply it to our own lives today. So that's kind of the direction I'm going. But I want you to notice verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot, who's his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And he took his wife, Sarai, who also will have a name change in this story, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. Your word is everlasting. It's eternal. It's living and active. And it's going to help us today and in the days ahead as we begin this new year. And hopefully even after 2020, we still begin the new year with a sense of hope and a desire to want to draw near to you and follow your plan. And yet we know there's going to be challenges. There is in every year. We know there's going to be opportunities. There are opportunities in every year. So help us, Lord, today and in these Sundays ahead as we look at the life of Abraham, to think about what it means to live and to follow you by faith. Lord, I pray that wherever we are in that faith journey today, that we would hear from you. Holy Spirit, please speak to our hearts. Speak through me, your messenger, today. Whether it's placing our initial saving faith in you, or maybe just having the faith to follow after you and work through a difficult situation in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can follow you by faith and that you are faithful and you're always good and you always respond to what we need and where we are in our lives. I pray that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, earlier Linda mentioned this study that we're doing, and by the way, it's not too late to join that if you want to join as it happened, a chronological study through the Bible, but we are in Genesis. We've been reading through Genesis, and we've actually read through the first 11 chapters. I haven't quite made it through my reading today, but I will. But nevertheless, the first 11 chapters are big, big stories, kind of the big events, the creation. God spoke the world and the universe into existence. And then we see other stories like the fall of man. And we see Cain and Abel, and we see Noah and the flood account. Those are big stories. Seems to me like when you get to chapter 12 or the end of chapter 11, it slows down and begins to focus on individuals and their individual journeys. And that's what happens here as we see the life of Abraham. Abraham, it's interesting, we don't really see his childhood, although we have a general idea of what it might have been like. We don't see his teenage years or adolescence. It starts when he's an older man, but his story starts with a call to faith, a call to place his faith in the one true God. And so that's where we're going to start today. And I believe there are some common elements that you'll find in his call that we have in every one of our lives in our journey of faith. And so if you're taking notes today, this is where we're going to start out with this call to a life of faith. And it's right here in verse 1, the first element or first common thing that we have in our lives is that God calls us by faith to leave the old life behind. God calls us by faith to leave the old life behind. Again, you got to get into chapter 11 to kind of see what's going on, but when you read at the end of chapter 11, specifically in verse 28, it says that Abram was born and raised in this place called Ur of the Chaldeans. You may not know a whole lot about Ur, but archaeologists and others know a little bit about that place, and it was not a nice place to grow up in. Unfortunately, Abraham didn't have the upbringing that a lot of us have. where we were raised in Christian homes or raised to go to church, or even if we didn't have a Christian home, probably somebody in our lives, whether it was a school teacher or a friend or a neighbor, somebody knew Christ, and so we had a Christian influence around us. Abram didn't have any of that. You see, Ur was a place that was hopelessly lost. It was a place that followed wicked idolatry. In fact, Ur's entire family followed after this idolatry because his father's name was Terah. And from what we know about Terah, Terah was a dealer in idolatry. So he would make these little wooden idols and statues, and he would sell them. And being his son and kind of an apprentice to his father, how they did things in that day, Abram dealt in the same thing. And so he grew up all around idolatry, grew up in a wicked culture. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2 says Abram's family worshipped other gods. Now what changed Abram or Abraham? I know what it was. It was a better education. Education changed him and made him a better man. No, I don't think so. Maybe it was a better environment. Maybe when he got with Sarai and they started their life together, he had a better home environment. No, I don't think it was that either. You know what changed the very course or direction of the life of Abram? He met God. He met the one true God. In fact, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, Stephen is talking about this event. He says, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran." Now that's pretty important right there. Before he settled in Haran. So he had a personal visit from the God of glory. Listen, a lot of times you'll hear people use this terminology today. They'll say, "Oh, so-and-so's found religion." Or they might even say, "I found religion." Listen, please don't think that way. That is not good theology. God found you. God pursues you. Now listen, you have to receive that. You have to believe it. But God is reaching towards you today. Someone watching online, you may be like Abram. You feel like you're in a hopeless situation. You may feel hopelessly lost. God is searching for you. The fact that you're listening to this message today means that God wants you to be found. God wants you to be in a relationship with Him. And remember, God always takes the initiative. But you know what? God wants us to make the decision freely. The choice is ours. And so every testimony of faith or salvation is a testimony of someone who has made a decision or a choice to follow after God. So I guess what you might say about faith, you can write this down in your bullet under the first point. Faith is a response. Faith is a response. Again, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know all that was going on in his life. I know that there were some hardships in his life. Again, going back to chapter 11, we know that at some point, Abram lost his brother. Haran died. And all of a sudden, he's got to raise his nephew, Lot, which is going to be problematic in itself. We'll find out later. But that had to be hard on his family. I'm sure that jolted him. And there's another issue that's going to plague him later on that's really, really burdensome. I'm sure it is for him because of the times in which he lived. But he and his wife were unable to have children. I'm sure when he married Sarai, they had plans of having lots of kids. But there was one problem. As much as they tried, Sarai could not get pregnant. And so I'm sure that was hard for him. That was hard for her. And so difficulties could have brought him to this realization. But whatever it was, God appeared to him. God made it clear that the way you're following is not right. God convinced him that he was the one true God. And Abraham stepped out in faith. I like how the author of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. He says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going." Just reminds me, you don't have to know everything about everything to take a step of faith for God today. You know, you may not know all that God wants to do. We don't know this year. But you know enough to know what He wants you to do right now, today. And today you can do it. Today you can take a step of faith and say, God, I'm going to follow You. And part of that call means to leave the old life behind. I've got to say this, but one of the problems we have, and we still have it today in American Christianity, is what a lot of people call easy believism. Somebody walks an aisle, pray a prayer, and they say, okay, I'm good with God, never to be seen again. Sometimes they stay around long enough to get baptized. But you know what's sadder still about that? Not even sadder than the fact that they never come back to church, is that they walk away just as lost as they were before they ever walked the aisle, because there was no repentance for forgiveness of sins. See, that word repentance is left out a lot in modern day times in the church in America today. They have no intention of leaving the old life behind. Folks, a genuine salvation experience is all about leaving the old life behind. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but it's a desire to walk after the ways of the Lord. In fact, Jesus came preaching a message of repentance. In Luke 13, verse 3, He said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, back to our passage. What was Abram asked to do? He was asked to leave, to repent, to go to the land or the place that God would show him. God is trying to show you a place today, but oftentimes He doesn't show you everything. You have to go step by step or go in stages. And so, again, maybe you're in a situation or a relationship that's not healthy and you need to leave that relationship today. Or you're doing something, you're committing a sin that is wrong. You don't know how that you're going to keep from doing that, but you take a step away from that today. You leave the old life. Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, when you know Christ as your Savior, when you've been saved, suddenly, isn't as appealing as it used to be. Those old things that you used to enjoy doing, they just don't have the same pull they used to have. That doesn't mean that you're going to totally be removed and never have a temptation again. But your priorities change. Your life changes. Your direction changes. Yes, indeed, faith is a response. But listen, it gets a little tougher as you continue on in the journey. And sometimes we can get stuck in Haran. Let me explain what I mean by that about getting stuck in Haran. Would you guys put the map up if you could just for a second? Now, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of maps, but I do want to show you this map. This is kind of a simplified map of the journey that Abraham took. I'll explain later why he took that journey, but what you see there is he starts in Ur and he travels north. And the reason he doesn't go straight west is because that's a desert between Ur and Canaan. But he goes up to this, he's following the river is what he's following so that they can survive. He settles about 500 miles north in this place called Haran. Now, Haran is not where God wants him to be. It's where his father-in-law wants to be. It's where his relatives and family want to be. But it's not where God wants him to be. By the way, that's why it says here to leave your relatives and to leave your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. You know what the word Haran means? It literally means delayed. Do you know that Abraham was delayed in Haran for about 15 years? For about 15 years, he lived in a place where God didn't want him to live. Now, did that mean that the promise was no longer valid? No. When God makes a promise, God always keeps that promise. But you know what? Abraham would have never fulfilled all that God had for him until he left Haran. So what I'm saying right now, I think you probably get it, is that even as Christians, sometimes we can get stuck in our faith journey. We can hang around too long in places like Haran. And what we do is we delay what God has for us. God has a plan for us. And so maybe some Christians today need to leave Haran and go to where they need to go. Because faith is a response. But you know what else faith is? Faith is a reward. It's a reward. Hebrews chapter 11, again, verse 9. By faith he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So God was calling Abram to a place that we now know, Canaan is how it's referred to here, but we know it as the promised land. And that's what God is calling us to a better place. He's calling us not just to eternal life in the next life, but to a better life now, to the abundant life now. And the goal for Abram and us is Canaan, the promised land. Faith is a response, and faith is a reward. But something else, the second point I want to make today about our faith journey, we find it in verse 2 and verse 3. God calls us by faith to bless other people. To bless other people. Look at verse 2. These are where these famous I wills are. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, we know, of course, that this was ultimately fulfilled by the fact that through the line of Abraham, Abraham's offspring, came the Messiah. Jesus Christ came through Abraham. And that's the big fulfillment of this picture. And there's also some promises to the Jewish people that are in here, where it says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that the Jewish people have been blessed. They are a blessed people because God made specific promises to them. But also, we see that all peoples in the world are indeed blessed by Abraham, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Messiah for all people. He's come for all nations, and so He is the Savior for all. So there is truly a lot of prophecy in this passage. But I want to make it specific to us. I want to make it practical for us today. And I believe what God is saying to us is that He's going to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. If God blesses you, then you don't have to worry or wonder or think about it. There's a reason. And God wants you to be a blessing to others. In fact, God blesses us so that we can bless others. We're blessed to bless. We got to pay it forward. So let me ask you a question today. Put your thinking cap on for just a minute. What has God blessed you with? What is it that He has blessed you with? Maybe He's blessed you materially. Maybe He's blessed you relationally. Maybe He's blessed you again with an upbringing where you've been immersed in the Word of God. He's given you other gifts, spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about that later this year. I'm going to teach you on spiritual gifts. He's given you experiences. He's given you intelligence, personality, position, influence. Use it to bless others. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. But look, folks, here's the most important thing of all about that. You are blessed spiritually if you're a child of God, no matter what background you've come from. And you may say, well, I don't have any talents. I don't have very many spiritual gifts. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person. Listen, if you're a child of God, you've been blessed. You are blessed richly. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And you're blessed to be a blessing. So our faith blessing is a blessing for everyone. Where I'm going with this is we're to be witnesses. God wants us to be witnesses once we come to know Him as Savior. Now, I want to help equip you to do that. And we're going to look at some classes later on this year where we can help you to understand how you can better share your faith. But too many Christians want to come and learn without being willing to go and tell. God says we need to go. We need to go. And one of the ways we're a blessing is by letting people know, all kinds of people, what God has done for us. And that's what a witness is. A witness does, sometimes people say, well, I'm not like you, Pastor. I've not been to seminary. I don't know enough. I don't know how to answer the hard questions. You don't have to know how to answer the hard questions. All you need to do is tell people what God has done for you and who Jesus is to you. And you know what? People may argue with the Bible. They may argue with me more than they will with you, because they've got a bone to pick with some part of the Bible, or they're mad at God for some reason, or disappointed. They're not going to argue with your testimony because your story is your story. And so share your story. Share with others. I like what Vance Havner said. Vance Havner said one time, a Christian with a glowing testimony is better than a library full of arguments. Isn't that good? So God makes these promises to Abraham that he's going to bless him in some special ways, but God is blessing him so that he can be a blessing to others. Third point I want to make today. God calls us by faith to a journey that often doesn't make sense. A journey that often doesn't make sense. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 4. So Abram went. He was obedient. He was faithful, just as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Now, there's some things in this story that may lead me to believe that he probably went with some questions in his mind. He probably thought, you know, Lord, I'm going to do what you say because I believe in you and I'm exercising my faith. But really, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You need to understand, whenever you decide to follow God's call for your life, sometimes things that you do are just not going to make sense. Because God's call to a life of faith is diametrically opposed to the life that you often believe is the best life for you to live on earth. There's earthly or worldly thinking, and then there's heavenly thinking. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 speaks about it pretty clearly. It says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. So you're going to probably beat to a different drum. There's a lot of people, maybe friends, maybe family members of yours, that just aren't going to get you anymore. They're not going to understand why you're doing things the way you're doing them now. In fact, they're probably going to think that you've lost your mind. But that's okay. And it's okay to have questions, but we don't question God in that. We continue to follow, how? By faith. You see, here's the deal. God's promises didn't probably make a lot of sense to Abram. I mean, think about it. He doesn't have any children. He's 75 years old. His wife is infertile. And God's telling him, I'm going to make you a great nation? How in the world is this going to happen? Later on, he's going to say, your children or offspring will be like the stars of the sky, or the sands of the shore. Innumerable, in other words. And not only that, but he doesn't even tell him where he's going to go. He says, I will show you where to go. Now, can you imagine that for a moment? Can you imagine you've decided that you're going to move, you're going to follow God's will for your life and move to another place? And so you call up a moving company, and the moving van pulls in, and the guy says, okay, where do you want me to take this stuff? And you're like, well, I don't know. The Lord hasn't really told me yet. Well, that's not going to go over very well. So he doesn't even know exactly where he's supposed to go. God's directions probably didn't make a lot of sense to Abram. And here's something else just to think about, okay? A lot of people think that Abram left some terrible place, this wicked, despicable place in Ur, and came to the land of milk and honey. I know it's called that later on. But you know what? At this time and point in history, Canaan was unsettled. It was a wild place, and it was barren. And here he is in probably the wealthiest, most civilized city in the world at this time. I mean, they had the latest music. They had the latest crafts. They had a library and a university and all kinds of technology for their day and time. And he leaves it to go to this unsettled place. It's interesting. Abraham didn't go out of convenience. He went out of obedience. That's why I love Proverbs chapter 3. This is a great verse for the new year, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So God calls us sometimes to a lifestyle that doesn't, or a journey that doesn't make a lot of sense. But there's a fourth and final thing I want to share with you today. God calls us by faith to a lifestyle of continual faith. God calls us by faith to a lifestyle of continual faith. So I want you to listen, because this is probably where most of us are right now. And this is really the tough part. At least it is for me. All right? Go ahead and put the map up again if you don't mind. As we read on, verse 6. Look at verse 6. Go ahead and leave the map up, but look at verse 6 in your Bible. It says at the end of verse 5, when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem. Now, you don't see it on there, but you can see the general direction. He's traveling south. He's traveling towards the land where God would have him go, at the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And finally, look at verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give you this land. So he finally tells him where he's going to go. This is where I want you to go. By the way, the Lord did not appear to him at all when he was in Haran. That's why when you're in a place where you're delaying or you're not where God wants you to be, it seems like God is a million miles away. It seems like he's not listening to your prayers. Finally, he gets into the land and the Lord appears to him. And it's a good thing, too, because now that Abraham's made it in the land, he's got it made in the shade, right? He's on easy street. Wrong. Every step of the way, there is difficulty. Every step of the way, every step of the journey, Abraham's probably screaming. This is harder than I thought, Lord. This is no piece of cake. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can take another step today. Every day. Let's look at these words just real quickly, okay? Shechem, this first place he goes to. Names mean something. Did you know that? It means shoulder. It means the shoulder means something to lean on. And so he was reminded he had to lean on God every step of the way. Moreh means instruction. Means he would rely on God's instructions whenever he was traveling through the land. And again, then the Lord appears to him. Whew! That's a good thing. So what does he do? He pitches a tent and he builds an altar. Now notice where he builds the altar. Going on reading, it's in the hill country east of Bethel, with Bethel on the west, verse 8 I'm reading from, and Ai on the east. Now, it's interesting where he's pitched the tent. Those two names mean something as well. Bethel, which is on one side, means the house of God. Ai on the other side, you know what that word means? House of ruin. So he's put his tent square in the middle, looking on one side to the house of God, looking at the other to the house of ruin. And isn't that where we live our lives, Christian? Every day we can either look to God for our help or we can look to the world, which will bring us into ruin. And so that's what he's doing. And notice how it says in verse 9, then Abram journeyed by stages to the Negev. So what that's telling us is that we've got to walk by faith each and every day. Each and every day. God not only wants us to be saved by faith, he wants us to walk by faith. Faith is a journey, a lifestyle that is consistent or continual. And so every step of our journey requires faith. It requires faith to leave the old life behind. It requires faith to be a blessing to others. It requires faith when God calls us to do things that are difficult to understand. And it requires faith to live continual faith when we're always living between the world and between the place of God. I want to tell you a story as I close today about three men who, in my book, are just amazing. They are super marathoners. And they made a decision one time that they wanted to walk all the way through the Sahara Desert. And so that involves starting in Senegal, which is a country where we have been many times before on mission trips. And they started there at the ocean and they walked and worked their way all the way north to Egypt, touching again in the Red Sea. This trip took over 3 months, 110 days. Think about the things that they had to battle on this trip. They had to battle sandstorms, blazing heat, often well over 100 degrees, freezing nights, sandstorms, tendonitis, sickness, all the usual aches and pains and blisters. Probably the biggest challenge of all was finding water, just finding good, clean drinking water. But you know what? They did it. These three men made it. They crossed the Sahara Desert, all just walking the entire way. But you know what's just as commendable than these marathoners? People who finish their race well in the Christian life. People who find their Christian lives still growing and serving even as they come to the end of their lives. Christian husbands and wives who remain faithful in their marriage till death do them part. Pastors who stay faithful and passionate in ministry until their last breath. Church members who weather rough storms when they're tempted to bolt or leave and remain joyful and loving and faithful. Yes, it is just as impressive when Christians live out the journey or the walk of faith. That's what Abraham is challenging us to do today. So where are you in your walk of faith? Do you need to make that initial step of faith today and be saved? You can do that in just a moment. Let me pray for you right now, and then we'll close out with our invitation. Father, we love you today, and we are grateful for this story of a life of faith or a journey of faith. Abram is a great example of faith. Abram is a man who was visited by you in a place where he should not have been, and he made a decision to follow after you, to get up and go where you called him to go. And I'm so thankful that even though he didn't have a lot of answers, maybe it didn't make a lot of sense, not just to him, but to others around him, he continued to walk by faith. We're going to find out in the weeks ahead that even though sometimes he would veer off course and make mistakes, he would sin. He would get back on track and continue that journey. And because of that, the Bible says his faith was credited to him as righteousness. And he is a model of faith for us today. Lord, I pray that we would just have the heart and the desire right now to pick up and continue in our faith journey. The fact that all of us are here watching online means that probably we have some desire to want to know you, or you've spoken to us in some way. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to be saved. They've heard the call, but they've never truly trusted Christ to forgive them and cleanse them and to walk by faith. Lord, give them the courage to do that today, if that's what they need to do. Others of us, many of us, maybe are like Abraham was when he was stuck in Haran. There were reasons why he was there. I'm sure his family wanted to stay there, his friends, but that wasn't where he needed to be. And some of us today are in a place we should not be. We're in a relationship, or we have a habit, or we're just not serving. We're just not walking closely with you. Lord, in this new year, may we be spurred on by faith to continue in those steps toward you. And I'm so thankful again that Abram made his way to the promised land and built an altar there and heard from you there. Thank you that we can hear from you as we follow after you, that you never forsake us or never leave us. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. God, I just pray that today we would make a commitment to follow after you by faith, whatever that looks like for us. And I thank you again for how you've spoken to me and spoken to each person in this room and those watching online through your holy word. Help us now to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.